Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is episode 584 of the Pancakes and Power Slam show. I am Dr. Chris Featherstone here for yet another awesome fun time as we do each and every week with Dr. C and PMP, with my bros, with my sisters, with my misters and my misses. Wishing you the best wishes, serving you like dishes, the best platter on the plate. Don't be late, but stay up late with me and PMP. Yeah, let's go, everybody. 584 episodes of the Pancakes and Power Slam show. I am here live broadcast and on podcast, Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to listen to the podcast on the archives. But for those who want to ask questions live to me to listen to for the podcast, be sure to hop on that YouTube channel, Pancakes and Power Slams. Subscribe so you can ask your questions here. And do not fear. Don't be here. Better to be here to be there than to be there. Beware. Don't beware. I'm just playing. That's what I'm saying. What I'm praying. Let's go, everybody. Having fun as always. Great time with PNP. Let's go. 584. Giving you some more. Like every other week. PMP, yo, the Dr. C and the PMP Nation, as always, on your airways. What's going on, everybody? We got the comments loaded and locked in, just like every single week. Of course, live on Blog Talk Radio podcast. But we are also live on my YouTube channel and Facebook channel, Pancakes and Power Slams. We got a bunch of questions ready to be asked. Of course, the hashtag is hashtag ask doc for your questions to be answered. And be sure to like, share, subscribe, and let the people know about Pancakes and Power Slams. All right, let's start with Rorito. So the main topic today is the Judgment Day breaking up their breakup in the Judgment Day? Rorito's already ready, asking the question. My belief is Priest will leave Judgment Day and newest member will be J.D. McDonough. That is his thoughts on it, actually. So here's the thing. Priest leaving Judgment Day would make them so much weaker, because Priest is a amazingly strong member of the Judgment Day. He's the muscle. He's the heavy. JD McDonough is smaller than Finn Balor is, and Finn Balor is a relatively small guy. So if you're trading Priest for JD McDonough and still trying to make the faction look strong, that's a wrong move. That's a bad move. I don't think they're going to split up anytime soon. I mentioned this on the Raw post show of what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to try to make some type of rift, kind of. I do see a triple threat match happening at Money in the Bank. I do see that. I would have preferred Priest and Rollins, because I do think Priest needs to get his shine, because you're throwing Finn Balor in matches again, doesn't really mean nothing, hasn't really built up a lot of equity lately to even have a title spot. That just didn't make sense of why that is the case. But for the sake of the Judgment Day, I do think we'll see a triple threat. I do think we can see a triple threat. I'm not sure if we will see it, but I do think we can see a triple threat match. Now, does this give Priest shine? I think that it takes away some shine from Priest, because I do think it should have been a singles match. That's my take on it. I do think there should have been a singles match between Priest and Seth Rollins. Now, does this lead to Judgment Day somehow winning the title? I doubt it. However, by the time Money in the Bank comes, it'll be, 6 week reign, 5 week reign, somewhere around there, of Seth Rollins, which will be a short reign. I just don't see Finn Balor becoming champion. It was a moment where he was coming from NXT. He was a babyface. His main roster run wasn't tarnished when he became Universal Champion. It was a fresh face, which I do appreciate. So that Finn Balor from then compared to today's Finn Balor are two different Finn Balors as far as how they've treated him as far as just on the books is concerned. So I don't see the same Finn Balor. I don't see it, man. I just don't see it as far as him being a world champion again. Damian Priest, he's never been world champ, so here's his opportunity. And I do see a triple threat match happening. However, though, that doesn't wow me. That doesn't intrigue me much. I don't care about a possible or a tease of a Judgment Day breakup or Judgment Day implosion. I don't care about that. Like, it feels like a great value version of the Bloodline breakup. Do you want an implosion storyline on Raw because you have an implosion storyline on SmackDown? The Bloodline implosion storyline is leaps and bounds better than any type of tease within breaking up the Judgment Day. The founder of the Judgment Day was kicked out, and the Judgment Day 2.0 isn't better than Judgment Day 1.0. Now, Dominic being there is best for business, but he could have done that with Edge, though. So, you know, it's one of those things like Dominic isn't Dominic because of Finn or Priest. I mean, Dominic he fell in being that just snobby, snot-nosed kid that is super hateable because he's just that bratty kid who still complains about his dad, although his dad has done so many good things and positive things for him, he still finds something to complain about. That's an amazing heel, however you want to put him. So I don't think that Finn Balor or Damian Priest was the contributors of Dominic getting the heat that he has. It was just the right place at the right time, man. Like, he's just getting just a ton of heat, which is great for him. So any type of Judgment Day implosion, anything to me is just, it just feels super great value. Like, it feels like a knockoff Fago version of the Bloodline. And I'm not into it, man. Do I feel Priest will get a huge push after departing Judgment Day? See, they're not really doing a good job pushing him now. Even in the Judgment Day, I think that he can have a great this thing is only 10 minutes or 15 minutes long. So without further ado, hey, for those listening to PNP on the podcast. You got the short version for some reason within the Blog Talk Radio. It only allowed for a lot less. Maybe we can change it. Okay, here we go. I think maybe we changed it. Okay, here we go. There we go. Able to change it real quick. Okay, I'll see you. Very nice. Just like that, we were able to change it to longer. It's okay, cool. Cool. Getting back into getting acclimated with Blog Talk Radio. I think I changed it. I think I was able to successfully extend the time of the podcast. I think I did it. If not, so long. If so, continue to join us here on Pancakes and Power Slams. So as far as going back to Priest, do I think he'll get a huge push after departing Judgment Day? It depends on how he's getting booked. As a heel, I think he needs Judgment Day to help him in that regard, as far as keeping his heel run. If he were to break off as a babyface again, I think that he could get a Razor Ramon style push. Actually, I think that he can get a bigger push than Razor Ramon, because Razor Ramon never won the world championship. I see a lot of the trajectory of Razor Ramon and Damian Priest. Minus the fact that Priest came up in the main roster as a babyface with Bad Bunny, and then he turned heel. You know, he won the mid-card championship, then he turned heel. So minus that, I see a lot of trajectory similarities when it comes to Damian Priest's push, similar to Razor Ramon. In 92, Razor Ramon was a mid-card / upper mid-card heel. He had the tag match with him and Flair against Perfect and Savage at Survivor Series of 92. 93, he ended up going against Bret Hart for the world for the WWE Championship. So he had a solid trajectory as a heel, and then he ended up turning babyface and having an amazing upper mid-card status as a babyface. The only thing is, they never pulled the trigger and pulled the switch on him becoming world champion. That's the problem that I had with the trajectory of Razor Ramon. I know that substance abuse and things like that, you know, that got in the way, specifically after his jump to WCW, because, you know, curtain call, and then that leads to a jump over to WCW with Kevin Nash. So could Razor Ramon had been world champion if he would have stayed a little longer? You know, him and Nash are both money guys, and clearly the money was right when it came to WCW. And the return on investment with Nash and Hall ended up being very well, because it spawned the New World Order, which helped WCW defeat Raw for 83 weeks, or at least Raw not defeating. It's more like Raw not defeating WCW for 83 weeks. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there a tire few there as well, and some preemptive things that didn't do head to head, as far as the Monday Night Wars as well. But WWE was unable to beat WCW for 83 weeks. I mean, that is true. And NWO had a lot to do with that. Scott Hall had a lot to do with that. So would he have been champion, Razor Ramon? I think possibly. You know, and then here's another question. Was Razor Ramon, or was Scott Hall in WCW, because he was in such close affiliation with Kevin Nash, was he overshadowed by Kevin Nash at any time in his career as far as who should be world champ? I'll be interested in knowing that. Like, I've interviewed Eric Bischoff many, many times, And I would be interested in asking him, was there ever any talks of having Scott Hall become the world champion? I might text him that. It's late Eastern, but he's still, I think he's on Mountain Time. It was a couple hours. It's still relatively late there too. Maybe when it gets a little earlier, one time soon. Remind me, tweet me at Chris Bolifer. Remind me to text Eric about that. Per our conversation, per my question asked on PNP, was there ever any consideration of Scott Hall become WCW champion at all? I know he won the World War III pay-per-view to get the title shot. If I'm not mistaken, he went against Sting. Was it Sting or Savage? I think it was Sting, if I'm not mistaken. One of them, Sting or Savage. But he didn't. I know he won World War III, but he wasn't able to cash it in successfully. 97, he won World War III. So Scott Hall won. So he won. Yeah, okay. So Uncensored 98 is when he went against Sting. Yeah, and Sting beats Scott Hall. That's what it was, yeah, Uncensored. So he was able to cash in his title shot at Uncensored 98 and lost. So that's as close as he got to becoming WCW champion. So as far as, interesting conversation about Scott Hall. But as far as Damian Priest is concerned, I do think that he has a great opportunity to become world champion. I think he should. I think he's put a lot of reps in, especially putting Bad Bunny over twice, one tagging with him and the other going against him and putting him over. I'm doing well. I'm a long day as always, with therapy and prepping for two shows, doing the graphics for PNP, doing the countdown stuff for PNP, doing the countdown stuff for Unscripted, making sure I'm talking to, you know, getting everything together as far as prepping for both shows and getting Ken Anderson, you know, giving him the information, laying it out for him. And, So, a lot. And so every time I come to PNP, it's like home stretch. PNP's home stretch to me. It's like a job well done. Tuesdays are my longest days. Mondays are just about there, too. Mondays and Tuesdays are just about equal as far as long days. I work about 12 and a half hours with my therapy and podcasting together. But I am done later on Tuesdays, though. So, yeah, man, put in work, but I do it for you. And that's why I'm here every single week for PNP. So with that being said, hey, if you have not become a patron on Pancakes and Power Slams, I put in the work to answer your questions. This is the most interactive chat in the whole entire universe when it comes to pro wrestling. And I appreciate you. You know, we don't do any type of, clauses or any types of strings attached when it comes to this stuff. But if you have it in your heart to become a patron and show your appreciation for the hard work that I do to put into this show for you to be interactive, be sure to subscribe, patreon.com/... Pancakes and Power Slams. Thank you very much. Dana Brooke was on NXT and Rollins is going to defend the title against Braun. What? Rollins is going to defend the title against Braun. Rollins is going to defend. What? Not surprised that Dana Brooke was on NXT, but Seth Rollins is defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Bron Breakker? What? So, Bron Breakker challenges. So, we're going to get Bron Breakker versus Seth Rollins on NXT for the World Heavyweight Championship? Or is Braun... What? Okay, so he wants him to come to NXT and defend the title on NXT. Hold on. I'm listening to it now. What in the world? It's just, I don't understand it. So Braun wants him to come to NXT to defend the title. Not on a pay-per-view, on NXT, though. Okay. So Baron Corbin is going against Ilya Dragunov. So Ali is still putting in reps back in NXT. Okay. It is really hard to follow NXT. I haven't seen it from a weekly standpoint for so long, and so it's really, really difficult to like keep up with it because I haven't for so long. So yeah. So you have Bron Breakker. So you have Seth Rollins, the main roster champion. So forget NXT champion. I couldn't beat Carmelo Hayes. I lost the title against Carmelo Hayes, and I lost the rematch, so I can't go against Carmelo because I lost to him, so I didn't earn that. But somehow I feel like I've earned a World Heavyweight Championship spot against Seth Rollins, who is the main roster Raw champion. But the developmental NXT champion I couldn't get past. But somehow I'm a contender for the world champion. And I want the world champion of Raw to come down to NXT to defend the championship. WWE's booking is incredibly confusing. Incredibly confusing. Trivia. I have my trivia. I found my trivia bag, actually. But it's over there, not over here. So let's see. What's the next review? Money in the Bank? I'll give you Money in the Bank trivia. Money in the Bank trivia. Let's see. All right, here we go. Who was the very first Money in the Bank winner? Who was the very first Money in the Bank winner? There you go. Okay. We're still saying in the world. This is so weird, saying that it's okay. This podcast setup and how they're doing it is a bit confusing. All right. There's your trivia. First Money in the Bank winner. See these lists, man. It's gonna have to. I'm gonna have to. It takes a long time to think about those lists. Let's see if I can think of this one real quick. Top five favorite gimmicks of all time. Gimmicks. I don't have favorite gimmicks. I mean, Sting's my favorite wrestler. But as far as gimmicks, what do you mean by, what do you specifically mean by gimmicks? Because that word can be used for several things. So gimmicks, like specify gimmicks for me. Was I shocked Solo turned on Jimmy? No, because it was clear that he was pegged to be the heel in all of this. And I wasn't surprised that he was just being a heel again. What is it going to lead to? I'm not sure. We shall see. We shall see. Cool. We shall see. Thoughts on Finger Poke of Doom? I think it was a horrible decision, and really was one of the things that's killed WCW as far as just overall momentum. I mean, talk about momentum killer. That was definitely one of the biggest momentum killers for WCW. Four movies of all time. Oof. Farley movies. I'm a big Farley guy. Would ever do live call-in type show with fans of yours online? I used to. Actually, my podcast, my Pancakes and Power Sam's podcast, for the first, it's been a while. It was live call-ins. I used to do live call-ins. The only thing is, I can share my screen, actually, and do a live call-in. I may. It depends. Consider. I'll consider Rorito doing a live call-in. But I really want to bump my YouTube channel up. And so I don't want to get distracted from bumping up my YouTube channel. So for so long for PNP, I was helping other channels and featuring PNP on other channels. And now I broke out a few months ago to do exclusively my channel, my YouTube channel. I have definitely grown in subs, but I need to grow much, much more. So my goal, with the help of PNP Nation, let's get 1,000 subs before the summer's over. All right. So everybody who's watching this, share it and let everybody know about PNP. Let's get 1,000 subs before the summer's over. All right. So my hand to your hand, look, we are in this together, baby. So my project's your project, and your project is to bump PNP subs to over 1,000 by the end of the summer. All right. So September. Late August, early September, going into late end of summer, going to the fall. I want to see 1,000 subs. If we're not 1,000 subs, you let me down. Let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. My hand to your hand. Don't let me down for the gathering, baby. Don't let me down. All right, Reigns is going to People's Wrestling Channel. Reigns is going to be making a movie with Malachi Black. Oh, that's interesting. That should be very interesting. Rito, do you see Finn getting betrayed by Dom in order for Dom to be new leader of Judgment Day? No, I don't see him being the leader of Judgment Day. I don't think his mic work is strong enough yet. That's a good question. Reigns' new title hasn't really clicked with me yet, man. It hasn't. The gray backing, I just can't get with the huge WWE logo. The black The black one, the one right there, right there. I ended up being okay with that one, but like for me, it's just like I grew the black title grew on me, but the gray, I mean the gold backing, ugh. Just that big old WWE logo, and then a go back. I'm not a fan, man. It doesn't do it for me. It doesn't do it for me. Like, make the title look like the Intercontinental Championship. That is the one championship that just looks different than all the other ones, because it looks like a old school belt. It looks like an old school title, man. It's finely crafted, and it looks like a reputable championship, not some big WWE stamped belt. Like, not a fan. What type of match would you have to do Brock do versus Cody at SummerSlam? What type of match would you have Brock do versus Cody at SummerSlam? They'll probably do a strap match, like old school Dusty style strap match. Because Brock Lesnar, I mean, like Brock Lesnar getting pinned again, like I don't see, because Cody pinned Brock at Backlash, so I don't see Brock getting pinned twice. They'll probably do some type of stipulation match, and they'll probably do a strap match, something to that nature, like a bull rope match or a strap match or something like that, stipulation to actually protect Brock in a certain way. I can see that happening. And then doing the Dusty Rhodes, Hall Times type of deal. Do I feel like Solo would be the first to dethrone Roman? No, not even close. He's got a long way to go. Burrito, what are three wrestlers you wish you would have interviewed that are no longer alive? Good question. I'm not sure. Scott Hall is one of them. Scott Hall was on my bucket list to interview. I never got a chance to interview him. The way I wish I would have interviewed. I can't think of anybody else. I can't really think of anybody else that I haven't interviewed that I wish I would have. I mean, Andre the Giant keeps, like, surfacing. Like, I would have really enjoyed interviewing Andre the Giant. Piper? Piper would have been a good choice to interview. Yeah, Piper. Or Dusty. Dusty, too, actually. Dusty's one of my all-time favorites. So Dusty, Piper, Andre, here's your three. Dusty, Piper, Andre. Scott Hall, too, is a fourth. So I'll give you one more. Who was your top eight draws of all time in merchandise sales? I don't know. Top eight draws of all time? My top eight draws? I don't know. I can Google the top eight draws of all time merchandise sales. But I remember having a Steve Austin shirt back in the day. This had to be over 35 years ago. So we're talking like 96. I had an Austin shirt. 97. 97 I had an Austin shirt. Yeah. So this was, 97. Or 90. Yeah, I think it was 97. 97, 98, somewhere around there. 97, 98 is when I think it was 97 that I had an Austin shirt. I think now I have a few. I have a few Sting shirts. I have a Shinsuke Nakamura shirt. I was at an NXT event years ago, and I bought a Shinsuke shirt just because it had like a Japanese print on it. It was pretty cool. I've got a Berserker shirt. I've got a Brock Lesnar shirt. That's because when the Suplex City, it was here type of deal when he was in Columbus. What other shirts do I have? I have a Jay Lethal shirt, but it was like made. It wasn't like a, it was like one of those tea companies that make shirts. It was a pretty cool shirt. It was like basically like a 6 degrees to Jay Lethal type of deal. Like Jay Lethal, like this person beat this person who beat this person who Jay Lethal beat type of deal. It was pretty cool. Actually, I've met him in person. I've met him in person multiple times. And in a ROH event, when I went to see ROH, I meant to say ROH at first, but when I went to an ROH event to see ROH, and I was doing some media for ROH, I saw him. He was doing a merchandise table, and I was recording, and I had the shirt on, and he popped for it. He thought it was a great shirt. I have a couple ROH shirts. I have a Jay Lethal shirt. I do have a Jay Lethal ROH shirt that says Undisputed. I think I wore it last week or a week before, maybe. Or maybe I wore it on my Monday show. So when he was the Undisputed champ, when he had the TV in the World Championship, I bought that shirt. I actually also have an ROH shirt that has been autographed by a bunch of people. I think when Scum was real big, Scum autographed it. I believe a couple other people autographed it. I have a bunch of autographs on that shirt. I can't read any of them, by the way, but I have a bunch of autographs. And I have one of my favorite shirts is actually the print of the country, and it has like, for every state that has like a wrestler's name that's from that state. I think that was pretty cool. That's actually one of my favorite, if not my favorite. I have a Southpaw regional wrestling shirt. I have a WrestleMania shirt. But I think that the states, the wrestling in the states, I think that that's probably, if not my favorite, one of my favorites. All right, do I see Omos and Veer will get individual main event pushes in the future? No, I don't see either one of them getting a main event push in the future, no. Do I feel WWE have Riddle dethrone Gunther? No, I don't think so. If they do, it will hurt Gunther's credibility going forward. No, I don't think Riddle's going to do that. Do I think WWE sometimes do another type of screw job like they did with Bret? Nope. I don't see that happening. Because Bret was the pinnacle of it. Like, there's just, I can't think of anybody in that type of realness when it comes to contractual issues to have that much reality in the contract issues to go. So what, you're going to go over AEW? You know what I mean? Like, there's a contractual dispute and you're going over AEW. Like, no. WCW and WWF at the time felt like even planes, felt like level planes. AEW doesn't feel like a level plane with WWE. So I don't know if any federation or promotion will ever feel like equal footing with WWE ever. I don't foresee that happening. It could. It should. But I don't foresee that happening. C-Rise in a house. Grandma passed away. Then your mom passed away 6 months later. Yikes, man. Sorry to hear that, man. It's so good to... I remember your grandma passing. But, man, sorry. So sorry to hear that, man. It's so good for... In the midst of all that, you decided to join us tonight. That means a lot, man. Thank you so much for that. Definitely continued prayers. For the peace in your family, man, through that really tough time. Tim Bruno's in the house. Tim Bruno likes to put Tim Bruno over. I said that Tim Bruno's in the house. Very nice. Tim Bruno's in the house. Thank you for your weekly contribution to PMP. Elvis, if you had full control of Raw, what four, five, or six matches you would make? These lists, man. Okay, so real quick, five or six matches. This is off the top of my head, man. For Raw. I would do. I can't even. With who they have, it's just so difficult to really do put together everything, man. Again, I would do Seth and Priest singles. Dom, I would put him. So again, I would do trios. I would do junior heavyweight championship. So again, I'll stand by that. So I'll have a trios tournament, and I'll have a junior heavyweight tournament. So Enda Shears, you know, up there, Imperium's up there. You know, there's trios that can happen, and then you have junior heavyweights, man. I would make. But you have JD McDonagh. You know, I mean, you have Cedric Alexander. You have enough people to have a junior heavyweight division, like 225 or less. 225 or less. There you go, man. I would do a junior heavyweight division. I would have Dom win the junior heavyweight championship. Talk about already becoming one of the most important, as far as must-see championships. On Raw, if you had a junior heavyweight championship with Dom as the champion, oh man, that's fantastic. That will automatically make the championship relevant. You have Dom with the junior heavyweight championship, and then you have Rhea with the SmackDown Women's Championship, both of them carrying championships. That would be some really good heat. Tim Bruno says, yes, Finn Balor is going to turn on Damian Priest, or Priest going to interfere one of Finn Balor matches, and that is going to be it. I don't see a turn, man. I don't see either one of them having it being a successful babyface or heel right now with how they're booking him. I don't see either one of them benefiting from a turn. It needs to be gradual. It needs to have a lot of feeling in it. Otherwise, if it's just some knee-jerk turn, it's not going to work. Elvis, on Saturday, a man in Ohio State legend who played in the NFL in the 70s and 80s. Any guess who it was? Hint, he was drafted in 1974. The only guess that I have for you is Archie Griffin. That's all I have. Wait, so he played in the NFL in the 70s and 80s. Okay, yeah. Archie Griffin's my guess. If they're hinting at another Money in the Bank cash in and a mid title, yeah, why have a pay per view? Just do. I agree, man. Just do multiple Money in the Bank matches, certain titles at the pay per view. The only thing is, like, that would be overkill to me if you do multiple ones for each championship. I do like the fact that it's just one championship and that it creates that element of surprise, but you're cashing in on mid-card titles. Didn't Theory cash in on a mid-card championship last year? Wasn't it Seth or something like that? I think it was. Then he won the Money in the Bank. And it was clear that he wasn't ready to become world champion, which I think him winning the Money in the Bank was a bad call. And so, if I'm not mistaken, he cashed it in for the U.S. championship, which is odd, super odd. Just a month away from birthday, your birthday or mine, because you're right about my birthday. It's a little under a month. Michael's in the building. After Raw went off the air, Rollins invited Priest into the ring to shake hands, which they did. Teasing the babyface. Might be a big ruse. Might be a big ruse. Where is your Chris Jericho on screen graphic gone? Oh, that wasn't a Chris Jericho. That was just a random wrestling type of stance type random wrestler graphic. It wasn't Jericho. There you go. Oh, there you go. But I don't think that's... It does look like Jericho, though. I took it away because I like it to be a little bit more simple. Like, it was... Like, this is a little bit too busy for me now. So I took it away. I like it sleeker. Like, yeah, very much sleek. Now you get to see, this, and this isn't as big. This is, nice font. Then you have the subscribe right there, so you get to see more of the ambiance and the feel of the background, which I prefer. All right, let's see. What is the point of Roman's new title, Jan? Agreed, especially when it's not his fault that he won the championship for both brands. And what do they do? They give him one championship for one brand. Like, here's how we reward you for winning both championships for one brand. We'll give you one championship to only be defended on one brand. That's a congratulations? Weird. I see EO and LA Knight winning Money in the Bank. Do you agree with me? If so, why or why not? EO perhaps if she breaks away from Bayley, but EO just doesn't have the it factor as far as main roster. Perfect in NXT, perfect in Japan, but you need character, you need some type of panache, you need that type of allure. You need that type of allure when it comes to that. So, I don't know, man. I don't see it. My guess would be, I'm not sold on LA Knight either. As far as a world champion, like with what we see right now, LA Knight is going to win the Money in the Bank and be world champion within a year. Like, I don't see it. I think that the fans have that type of thing where we want you to be. Like we're starting wanting to put this person over. And since you aren't listening to what we say, like the person of the flavor of the month, basically, not from a standpoint of LA Knight. LA Knight's been putting in work for a long time. Nice guy. I've interviewed him before. He's been putting in work a long time. All right. One of the best mouthpieces in all of professional wrestling. But this is how fans work. Fans are fickle. Fans will pick the flavor of their particular flavor of the month. And then after that, they'll discard that flavor of the month for a shiny new toy. Just like Tony Khan does, actually, by the way. And so I don't see that. I mean, it was somebody that was their flavor of the month that they were booing recently. And I was just like, see, that's the type of stuff that I'm talking about. Fans just don't have patience. They just don't have that stick-to-itiveness. They don't have the ability to really buy in and lock in on a character. I will largely blame how WWE books wrestlers too. That's horrible. But there was some wrestler recently that I saw the reaction of fans to, and they started booing him a bit. And I'm like, what in the world? Like, this is it. This is the reason why WWE doesn't listen to fans much, because fans are so fickle. Do my kids like wrestling like I do? My middle child does. My youngest son, he's a big wrestling fan. My oldest son likes wrestling too, but not as much as my middle child does. Do we finally get to see main event Jey Uso? Nope. That's right, X-Doc, for sure. Jeff's in the building. I did hear about that, too. Yeah, I did hear about that. I think that's better than what we were trying to get. I think he'll probably get a little bit more respect if he returns to the Fiend. But unfortunately, I think people are over Bray. I think they're over him. And sad, I do think that, like I said, he's just a beautiful mind, man. But he needs to be carved out. Like, his beautiful mind needs to be concentrated and sandpapered, so to speak, smoothed out, because he's just so out of the box and out there that it's not really conducive to the fans, the pro wrestling fans. Movies, absolutely. Pro wrestling, no, not so much. It'll be a month for Rollins. July 1st, I think it'll be Bella versus Rollins 101 because of Kay. Yeah. I mean, Bella's from Ireland, though. I mean, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. Was it Northern Ireland as a part of the UK? Why would you make him the baby face of it all? Yeah. England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. Yeah. I know my geography. Yeah. So where is Bray County at? I know that's in Ireland, but Bray County, Whitlow. Okay, it's the Republic of Ireland. Interesting. 20 kilometers south of Dublin City. Interesting. Okay. It looks beautiful. Nice beach. Very nice. I like to visit Ireland. Yeah, it makes sense. It's in London, though, so that's in England. So I guess because it's in UK, they'll give Finn the rub there. But does Finn get the UK rub? So why are they? Yeah, I wouldn't give Finn. Finn's playing the heel, but they're going to give him the spot against Rollins, who's the babyface. Wouldn't that tarnish? Wouldn't that confiscate a bit Rollins' momentum if they're making him go against someone who's from the UK? That wouldn't make sense to me. I would definitely not book that. I wouldn't book that whatsoever. The Bloodline 7-0 on SmackDown got 40 million views across social media and almost 3 million in the ratings. That's what Storylines does for you. Christopher, sorry for being here last week. My mom had rehabbing from stomach surgery. Thank you. It says you demand. Thank you very much. I hope that she's better. Okay, so there's about 90 seconds left, 75 seconds left on the podcast. We've got about a little bit left on the broadcast. So for those who are on the podcast, we're now listening to the podcast, I'm going to wrap up. But I really appreciate each and every single person being a part of this and listening to this. You guys are awesome. I'm actually going to play some exit music for the actual podcast. So look, I've still got a little bit left on the broadcast. So if you're listening to the podcast right now and the archives, go to the YouTube Facebook, go to YouTube Pancakes and Power Slam's YouTube page and go check the archives. Check the bonus and the extra from the podcast that is on the YouTube page, Pancakes and Power Slams. I am Dr. Chris Featherstone. For the podcast listeners right now, have a good night, everybody. And again, there's going to be the bonus live right now on Pancakes and Power Slams YouTube. Have a good night, everybody. God bless and so long.